we're so glad that we have another opportunity to share this precious word with you. Now, we've been going through the book of Jeremiah very, very slowly, very, very carefully. And finally, we have come to Jeremiah chapter 27. As we read these verses, and we are told to serve Babylon. We're told to serve Babylon. We must understand we're not told to serve Babylon in any spiritual way. That is the king of Babylon, that is Satan in any spiritual way. The fact is that the local congregations, if we say, I don't have to leave the local congregation. I don't have to leave the local congregation. But the problem is that God has said that the churches have now become under the rule of Satan. So it is impossible to remain there. This is the big point that I'm trying to get to. If we remain in a local congregation and God has instructed us that Satan rules there because the man of sin has taken his seat there, then it's impossible not to serve Satan spiritually. You think of the millions of people who are being deluded into thinking that they are hearing the true gospel because the preacher is talking about the Bible is the word of God, and yet the preacher empties it of its true meaning and substitutes his own or the church's meaning to that, so that it keeps them in that local congregation, and which is, or as God is saying, you're going to perish if you remain here, because Satan occupies that now, and that's why you have to come out. If you're going to serve him, you must serve him only from a secular vantage point. Now, in verse 11, therefore, we can now begin to understand this. At first, this seems like a major contradiction. It says, the nation that brings its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, that nation will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. And yet that is flatly contradictory, apparently contradictory to what God had said in Jeremiah 21 verse 9. When we go to Jeremiah chapter 21 verse 9, there we read, he that abideth in this city, that's Jerusalem, in this city shall die by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. But he that goeth out and falleth to the Chaldeans, that is to the Babylonians, that is goes outside of the city that besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey. That's just saying the opposite, isn't it? Here God is saying, you've got to get out. And yet apparently in Jeremiah 27 it says, well, you can stay there as long as you serve Babylon, serve the king of Babylon there. In other words, as long as you behave and do what he wants you to do. But the problem is, remember what we've already learned, if you remain, we know that that is a spiritual institution. Now, Jerusalem and Judea were an external representation of the kingdom of God. And in that environment, you cannot serve him. You've got to get out. But can we see this? Again, let's look at another verse. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 38, verse 2, and there's a couple more, but I'll just offer this one. In Jeremiah 38, verse 2, here God comes very flatly in verse 2, of Jeremiah 38, "Thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in his city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey and shall live." Now again, you see how plain that command is. That command is very, very plain, that you have to come out. And yet apparently, and this again is an indicator how complex the Bible is and how God has hidden truth and made the Bible easy to misunderstand. Because anybody looking at the two verses I just quoted from Jeremiah 38 and the earlier verse from Jeremiah 21, and compared it with this verse that we read in Jeremiah 27, they can quickly say, well, you know, that's the problem with the Bible. You can't trust it. Whoever wrote Jeremiah, when he was writing that, he got confused because he's contradicting himself. And God wrote the Bible that way. That whole, all through the Bible, we'll find these apparent contradictions. Yet, we start with the principle, no, it can't be a contradiction. We know that. We know that because it comes from the mouth of God. And if anybody knows what he was writing about, it is God. You and I might write something, and sometimes we read it a little later on, and we wonder, what in the world was I thinking about when I wrote that? I certainly don't believe it anymore. But that's not true of God. When God writes, when God has given us his word, every word is very carefully chosen, and there are no contradictions, and there are no mistakes. It is simply that we don't quite understand. We don't quite understand. But once we understand that God uses the word land in two ways, he can use it in reference to the kingdom of God, or he can use it as a physical arena of some kind, then we can solve this. Because look at verse 11 now. "But the nation that bringeth its neck under thee," incidentally, you notice it's plural in your Bible, the nations that bring their neck. Actually, in the original Hebrew, it's singular, so we've got to follow the original Hebrew, whether we like it or not. "The nation," singular, "that brings its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, it will I let remain still in their own land." But that word land is like the same word land that we saw in verse 10. In other words, it is, I will let them remain in the kingdom of God. Spiritually, this is what God is saying. If you serve Babylon, if you follow what I'm telling you, because this is the theme of this chapter, you've got to serve Babylon, the king of Babylon. But we already have learned, you know, that you don't serve him in Jerusalem. You don't serve him in Judea. You don't serve him in the local congregation. You have to serve him outside, because Jerusalem, the local congregation, is a spiritual entity that identifies with the kingdom of God. And so you can't serve him there. You have to get out. You have to get out of Jerusalem. You have to get out of your local congregation, and then you can serve him and remain in your land. What land? The kingdom of God. Then you are remaining faithful to the kingdom of God. And this is what God is really teaching here, I believe. I will let you remain still in your own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it. And that word till, incidentally, is the identical word as serve. And you will serve it. It is been translated as if you're outside and you're just going to go out there and work in the fields in some way. But even working in the fields are a figure of speech to indicate serving God as we send forth the gospel into the world, and you will dwell therein. And so you see, there is no contradiction as long as we understand that God uses the word land in an unfortunate, and we have to let the context guide us, obviously. We have to let the context guide us, but we know that once that, and we have to let the Bible give us the parameters, give us the extent as to of how we can understand that kind of a word. How does God use it elsewhere in the Bible? We can't manufacture a use of a word. We have to always let God guide us into a proper interpretation of a word. And here we find that once we understand that we can remain in our own land, in the kingdom of God, if we will follow God's direction in serving the king of Babylon, in serving Satan. And where is the only place that we can serve Satan as the king? Is in the secular world. Never in the spiritual world. Never in the spiritual world. The moment we enter into any spiritual organization, like a church or a convent or a congregation where that is designed to have some authority, and you know, where you're under the rule of elders or deacons or somebody, you're in a spiritual environment and you cannot serve Satan there. But God has decreed again and again through the Bible that in our day, Satan rules in the local congregation as an angel of light, his ministers as ministers of righteousness. So we know afresh we cannot be there. All right. Then we go on. I spake also to Zedekiah, and remember, God is really, we learned this in our last study. It was a very peculiar thing in a real sense. But Jeremiah has been walking around for like almost 15 years with a yoke, a wood yoke, like he was going to pull a wagon or something, a wood yoke around his neck, demonstrating, so we are to be under the yoke of serving Satan. You know, when I say that, in a sense, we shouldn't be too surprised, because right from day one, have we had to serve Satan, whether we liked it or not? And the answer, yes, it's always been that way, because he was made the ruler of this world. And in the secular world, we serve him every time we are in our business or this is not a spiritual world, this is a secular world. But it is necessary to distinguish. Any time we talk about something spiritual, make sure it has nothing to do with Satan. It has to do only with God. And that is why God had to end the existence of the local congregations, because they were designed as a spiritual institution. And now Satan rules there, and God has to be finished with them. He cannot utilize them any longer as a spiritual institution. From now on, in the closing years, this great final time of a great harvest, it's going to be me and God, me and God. It's just as God works directly, not through any kind of a spiritual institution. It's just me and God out in the Satan's world, out in the secular world, and God makes the application of the Word of God right into our lives, the lives of those that he plans to save. And it's not going to be mutilated by people who are coming with the wrong kind of a gospel, saying, well, we have spiritual authority over you. We have been appointed as your elder, as your deacon. We have the spiritual oversight. Listen to us. No. We can teach, but finally, the authority is only the Bible. only the Bible. I, in Family Radio itself has zero authority, zero spiritual authority over anybody. That's only God has authority. All we can do is help people to and get into the Word of God and begin to understand the Word of God more and more as God opens their eyes. All right, now in verse 12, I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and his live and live. Why will ye die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? In other words, he's telling the king, look, surrender to Babylon. Let them rule Jerusalem. That's the spiritual institution. That's my plan now. And you can serve him in a secular fashion. You can go into the land of Babylon. And later on in Jeremiah 29, God gives instruction as to what they would be doing in the land of Babylon as they are serving Satan. That is the king of Babylon. Any spiritual activity has to do only with a service of God. So he says, why won't you obey me? Verse 14, therefore hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord. Yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, that ye might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you. And here God is saying a big mouthful. You know, it's an terrible indictment. They are prophesying a lie in the name of Christ. And that is, again, emphasizing the most terrible situation that exists in the world. Let me say it again. It is so terrible. If someone is in a Mohammedan church or in a Buddhist temple or in a Hindu shrine or in some other gospel of that or religion of that nature, and they're saying, according to our religion, thus and so. Well, we can say, well, that's what you believe, but you have no authority whatsoever. After all, we know that the Bible is the Word of God. But the supreme deception, the supreme terror that has developed is that here are these countless numbers of pastors that are saying the Bible is the Word of God. Absolutely, it is infallible Word of God. We believe the Bible from cover to cover as the Word of God. And then they'll illustrate perhaps in their messages that they have some knowledge of many truths of the Bible, and they'll sound like they're very, very well acquainted with the Bible. They know what they're talking about. And then they come in the name of the Lord, because they are speaking as God's servants. They're representing themselves as those who have been ordained by God, who have been anointed by God to bring the gospel. And the next thing they tell you a big fat lie, as they say, you know, Jesus loves you, and he has provided a redemption for anyone who will reach out for him and accept him, and so on. And they go down that path. Invariably, they end up going down that path, and they are, and so, of course, they're not about to see that Satan rules. Of course, they tell you, and you just stick with us. We have the truth. We have the Bible. And we will guide you and keep you from falling, and so on and so on. And this is what God is telling you, that They are setting the people up so that they will perish. They are prophesying a lie in the name of God. Therefore, in verse 16, God said, "Also I spake to the priests and to all his people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hearken not to the words of your prophets that prophesy against you." That of course carries all through the book of Jeremiah. Now here, particularly, he's talking about using an illustration of people. He's saying in verse 16, as they are saying, "Behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you." In other words, in a historical setting, there were already by this time of Zedekiah a number of people who had been driven out, and already there had been a plundering of some of the vessels of the temple and so on, and now they're saying that these will again be brought very quickly from Babylon back into Jerusalem. And God is saying, no, they're prophesying a lie. They went on, "Hearken not," God goes on, "hearken not unto them, serve the king of Babylon and live. Wherefore should this city be laid waste?" That is why, "Wherefore should this city be destroyed? But if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, thus that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord, and in the house of the king of Judah, and at Jerusalem, go not to Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, and concerning the sea, and concerning the bases, and concerning the residue of the vessels that remain in this city, which Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon took not, when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yea, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord, and in the house of the king of Judah and Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there shall they be until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place." Now, what is God talking about? Actually, the vessels are a figure of people. You know, when we go, for example, to Jeremiah chapter 18, Jeremiah chapter 18, we read there about in verse 3, remember, Jeremiah was told to go into a potter's house, and he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, and so on. And then God is said in verse 6, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as with this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." The vessels that were used in the temple were a picture. They were used to serve God. There was the sea. That was a great big basin of water in which the priests would wash their hands and their feet before they went about their priestly duties. There were various all kinds of utensils that were used in the offerings and so on. But actually, they're a picture of all of the believers as we are used in the service of God. And God is, and already quite a number of these vessels had been brought out of Jerusalem, captured by the king, and the false prophets were saying, "Oh well, they're all going to be brought back very shortly now. God is on our side. We can't lose." And Jeremiah is saying, "All right, you pray that if you want to. You can pray for that. But the actual fact is, all the rest of the vessels are also going to be brought out, and they're going to remain in the land of Babylon until God decides when they are to be brought back. In other words, there are those who didn't come out of the local congregations who are God's people, but they will be brought out, that in time they will be driven out, or God will make sure they get out, because finally there's nobody there left that is still a child of God, or that is finally when we, and I think by the time we get to Judgment Day, we're going to find that there's nobody left in any congregation who is a true believer. Well, on that terribly sad note, we have to stop this particular program. The one thing that we want to get across, however, in this program is that we serve Satan in the secular world, but never in the spiritual world.